Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tempers Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I believe God will anoint this message to speak to you today, because we do have this promise in Isaiah 55:11. My word I will send out, and it will always produce fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. As you listen to this message, let the word of God penetrate your heart so it can accomplish all his will in your life. Enjoy this message.
Psalms chapter 33, I believe it is. If it's not 33, it's 31. But there's a spot in there, a certain verse in there, and I don't have it right now. But in Psalms 33, I believe it's exactly that. But it says, praise looks good on the upright. Another spot it says, praise is becoming. And so really what I'm saying is, as I look out on you, I see just the glory of God on you, and that's even attractive. And that's what the world should look out and see. So know this, whatever it is, and I got to be mindful of my time. I know I say that every time I get up to speak, y'all, but I'm going to get this message done today. But whatever it is you're looking at, as you're looking at someone else, the victory is not that they are here, but that they are still going on in spite of all that happens in our lives. Because the enemy, man, I tell you what, I watched something. I don't know why. I don't normally get into bare-knuckle fighting. But I had seen these two guys going back and forth and speaking trash to each other. I believe it was Hector Lombard and Lorenzo Hunt. And I was like, I saw that these guys were so antagonistic towards each other. I said, I want to see how this thing goes down, because they do this bare-knuckle fighting. And as I was watching it, I said, my goodness, I just could not do that. I would not get in the ring with these cats. You know, I just would not. But those guys went at it, and even after all those hits, I was amazed they were still standing at the end of the fight. Now, I say that just to say that you are still here, and you're still standing. Through all, think about it, everything the devil, yes, go on and give God some praise. And, you know, I know they made a movie and had Rocky, and he was like, he's a rock. I think that's what they called Rocky in one of the movies. And they said, he's like a rock. That's when I think it was fighting Drago or something like that. But he kept getting beat and kept getting beat, and he kept coming. That's what makes you look good, because you went through so much and you're still going. That is the gist of my message for today. I'm going to tell you, I don't feel the need to be long-winded or anything. I'm going to hit it and leave it. I'm going to say what God has for me to say, and I'm going to roll out. But if you take anything away, and this is the title, Complete Your Mission. Complete your mission. See, because it's like the devil's wanting you to say, uncle. Oh, wait, how far can I move? Am I able to go down there? Okay. I'm sorry, I like to walk. But God is saying, or the devil wants you to stop. He's like putting pressure on and putting pressure on, and he's waiting for you to say, uncle, I'm done. And I tell you the truth, I think a lot of us, we've taken our goals, the goals that God has given us, and we've allowed ourselves to chisel them back a little bit. Either time has elapsed, we don't know if they still can get accomplished. The enemy has hit us so hard that we started altering our goals and saying, I'll take what I can get at this point. And I feel that's where we're at right now, it's the church. We're at a spot where we haven't given up, but we're not pressing on. We're not pressing hard. And this morning, God wants you to be reminded. Now, and I'll tell you, all the things God told me, he said, tell them to dig out. Tell them to get sturdy. Get their legs. He was throwing all this stuff to me, because I usually say, God, what is it you want them to walk away with? Out of everything I say, what if burn everything else away, what should remain? And I heard him say, dig out. Don't stand there. Don't stay there. Meaning, whatever your situation is, get up. Use whatever you have. If you don't have a shovel, use your hands. If you got a little tiny spoon, use it. Get out of that situation. He said, sturdy yourselves. It's like, get up, be prepared. When those guys were fighting, I was thinking, man, what must they be thinking about right when they're, you know, they just got done with one round. They had five rounds, and they just got done. Now, if that's gross that I watch that, I normally don't watch stuff like that, y'all, but I was intrigued, and I wanted to see how it went. But anyway, I was thinking, what must those guys be thinking as they are at their, you know, they're waiting, they're getting their corners working with them, and I'm thinking, I'm inserting my thoughts. Can we just be done? That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, man, just be done. Can you just say, I'm done? And that's where the devil wants us. Just say you're done. Just say you're done. Give up. I'll leave you alone. I'll stop hitting you. So, complete your mission. I know I shouldn't have to say that to you. I know and understand when I say that, that means God's saying it to us, okay? Because he's speaking to me as well. The person delivering the message is being spoken to. So I need you to be encouraged today to push, 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 push on. Don't get too tired. Even when you get tired, keep going. Amen? We're going to look, most of the time, I'm focusing on Gideon. I'm going to spend the majority of the time in Gideon. I got a couple other scriptures to share with you. But right now, we're going to go to Judges 6. And I'm going to read through 6, 11, and 12. So chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And I think I have the same translation. And the angel of the Lord, oh, I'm sorry. Well, you see it up there. I'm going back to the day where you would say, open your Bibles to this spot, and when you got it, raise your hand, or give me a finger, you got it, you know. But we've got it up there, so you're good. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, I believe I said that right, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep from the Midianites. Okay? Verse 12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now, I've got several bullets, about six headers I'm going to talk about that is necessary for us to be successful. But I'm going to be using the majority of this scripture right here in Judges 6. Okay? So, a couple things I want you to focus on here is notice in this scripture here, it says the angel of the Lord came and sat down. God has an agenda. That's no big secret to us. A lot of times we think we're seeking God out, and that is true. We're supposed to seek God out. But know this, God seeks you out. God is seeking you out. And sometimes when he asks, where are you, he's not really saying he lost you. He knows where you're at. But a lot of times God will seek you out and will even ask you, where are you? And he's doing that so you can do an assessment of where are you at. And that's what we're going to do a little bit here in this 11. So, we're going to pick this piece apart, but what I want you to understand is each of these areas, we're going to be focusing on what it takes to be successful in completing your mission. Okay? So now keep in mind your mission. These should be givens. We know this. Your mission is not necessarily the same mission of the person next to you. It's going to be different, right? So no cookie cutter missions. We all don't have to be the same. We don't have to preach the same. We don't have to share the words the same. We don't have the same life experiences. That's not how God works. He wants us to be different. He embraces us being different. That does not cause him pause. Amen? That does not give him pause. So look here. One of the first things we need to know is this. Fear is the main tool the enemy will use to impede your success. Fear is the main tool. Now, look, notice what it said here. It said that Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. So as I was working on this, I said, let me see what this wine press really looked like. Because I know in, you know, threshing wheat, what that looks like, and, you know, I've studied that before. But let me see what this wine press is supposed to look like. And so understand, this point I'm on is that fear is one of the main tools to keep you from being successful. I want to show you a piece of what fear will have you do. So Gideon is here. A wine press, okay, you got this, you got to have different levels. So there's different structures they've shown that the Israelites used in wine press. But imagine a certain area that's on a higher level that has a compartment for a bunch of grapes in it. And you can have people who are stepping into the grapes. They're squashing the grapes, right? Now, maybe y'all have a wine press and know this. I don't, but I had to look it up. So anyway, at this top level, you've got that happening. But at the very bottom of that certain compartment, there's little holes that lead down, okay? So down to another area where the juices can flow. And it has to flow, gravity has to be able to take it down. So where the grapes are on a higher level, and then the vats go down a little bit lower. So you're pressing the wine, or the grapes that will become wine. If you're going to thresh wheat, you're trying to separate the good part of the wheat, the part that you can consume, from the extra stuff that doesn't mean anything, right? Well, in order to do that, what you have to have is you have to have an area where as you're working with that wheat, understand the part you want to keep is heavier, okay? It's heavier. The stuff you don't really care about is lighter. So what happens is as you're messing with that wheat, the heavier granules or grains or whatever will fall to the ground, but the wind needs to be able to come through and take away the chaff, right? That's how it works best. Threshing wheat should not be done in a wine press because they have different functions, those areas. So as I was watching this, the Lord was showing me, he said, Otis, notice there's a corruption or a disalignment with what I've given purpose to. And it's all based on fear. Why was he using a wine press incorrectly to take care of his wheat? It was because of his fear. He knew that he was going to be stolen from because the Midianites kept coming, and every time he would harvest, he would have the result of his hard work there, and somebody else would come in and take it. Oh, my goodness, I don't have enough time to preach this. Because seriously, think about it. That's what the enemy's trying to do. He gets us, you can be the most gentle person, the most loving person, and pull out a blade because someone's taken from you. Seriously, if the devil can get us to where we're fearful of what's going to be taken from me, fearful of someone encroaching on my land, fearful of someone coming and taking what's mine, if he can do that, he can cause you to operate outside of who God called you to be. Here, fear caused him to misuse the tools God had given him. Now, don't get me wrong. We do have to be wise and do certain things based on how God tells us to do. But in a wine press, you do not have wind flowing through to take away the chaff. So the job is harder. The job is harder. And I don't know about you. Maybe they weren't doing any more wine in that. But I sure enough don't want all that chaff in my wine. You know? I'm sure if I called up the people at Boone's Farm, they do not want it. No, okay. I know, cheap old wine. No, I'm teasing. but seriously, God said, so anyway, I can't hang out here too long. But that's what God, one of the things God was telling me is fear is the main tool the enemy will use to impede our success. And he can do that. When you act out of fear, you don't allow yourself to respond and be on the offense. You're always playing defense and you're worried, and that takes you off of God's agenda, right? And God doesn't want that. Also, fear and ignorance can cause you or cause us to get out of alignment with the purpose of God, right? So this is still a piece of what I was talking about. And as I was going through this, I always get this image of the Clampets. I don't know if you remember, I forget the name of that movie, that show. Beverly Hills, yeah, Beverly Hillbillies. I laughed so hard because there was this one episode where they, and if you don't know about the, who doesn't know about the Beverly Hillbillies? AJ. All right, that's all right. So anyway, I'll summarize the situation. This family live out in the hills, out shooting their guns, and just all of a sudden hit into a certain part of the ground, and all this oil comes up. Wow. Immediately, they are almost millionaires. And so they go, and they got this big, beautiful house in Beverly Hills, but they're still ignorant. Okay? They're still clueless to that area. Let's say that. They don't know how to use those things. And so they move into this beautiful mansion. They've got all this money. And so they have to start adapting their customs into this new world. And so they started getting friends. They had a banker, somebody who handled the money. But anyway, all of that said, there was this one scene where they had this beautiful pool table. And on this pool table, they didn't know what it was. I remember one time, I can't even remember the boy's name, if it was Jed, I think. Jethro. He says, he puts his little chicken bone down into one of the holes on the pool table. He said, look at that, Paul. It's so nice. They actually put holes for our stuff in it. I just thought, man, that's clueless. I mean, he didn't know what the pool table was for. Now, what I'm saying to you again is sometimes our ignorance of a thing will cause us to misuse the things that God has given us. We can have it for a long time. I'm going to tell you, there's stuff that I have on that keyboard, in this iPad. There's things that I just don't know that all that it can do. And there's probably problems that I deal with that I didn't realize I could easily go into this iPad and push this button if I only knew it good well enough. But if I never explore or get curious, I will miss. Amen. I will miss what God wants me to do. So, same thing is true for if we get too fearful. Well, I'm going to say if we get fearful and we close off, we no longer are curious, so we don't discover. That means we don't discover our mission. We don't discover what God wants us to do. We don't discover who else outside of us needs help. And so, again, I'm trying to relate this to where we are now, because our world for the last, for a long time, but you take all these different things we encounter, and we can get fearful so much that we start operating outside of what God called us to do. Next thing you know, you're fearful for your family, and you're lashing out, and you're doing something outside of God's character. There's times people are in jail. I used to talk to people who were worked at in Nelsonville Correction Facility, because I would be, well, the I think it was Hocking in Nelsonville. I would go in there and do music. And you would not believe how many men were in there who, after having committed the crime, came back to their right mind and didn't realize what they had done. But they had responded just in that moment of what was going on. It took them away from the agenda God had for them and just had them reacting. That's what the devil wants us to do. So here you got Gideon down here misusing the wine press, trying to get a certain function completed and not getting things done. And then sure enough, God meets him. God sets an appointment to come and talk to him through his angel. And that's how God has to get our attention sometimes. If he said, I'm coming next week, we probably would not be home. Right? We'd say, oh gosh, I don't want him. No. I don't want him to see that. He's going to take this away from me. And so here, the angel of the Lord just comes and talks to him. And he says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Which to me is a contradiction. Gideon is fearful, and so he's hiding from the Midianites. But God came and spoke to him and said, mighty warrior. So, number two, look beyond your current condition. Look beyond your current condition. These are things you will need to be successful. You will have to look beyond your current condition, or else you won't go on. When the angel said to Gideon, God is with you, you know, and actually we'll read the rest of this here in a moment, but it's real easy to get upset when you're going through so much and to hear God's with you. Well, doggone it, can he manifest something? You're saying he's with me, dog. I mean, can't you see what I'm going through? And you're calling me mighty warrior? Who you look? I'll tell you the truth. It's so funny. It's not funny. That's my little catchphrase I say. So if you hear me say it's so funny, it's not necessarily funny. So hopefully you don't tell me something tragic. And I say, you know, that's funny, because that's one of my just things I say. But doesn't mean it truly is funny. But anyway, when people are introducing me or speaking of me and they speak highly, I still have this impulse to say, who y'all talking about? Because the enemy is forever trying to say, well, you know what you thought the other day. You know how you spoke the other day. You know what you didn't do. He magnifies your errors, your mistakes, the things you jack up. And so it makes it hard when someone says, hey, mighty warrior. Me? And that's what Gideon is saying here. So let's look in verse 13. Verse 13, pardon me, my Lord. This is Gideon replied. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Now, I'm just going to stop right there with verse 13 for right now. This has already been said earlier today. We were talking about not seeing God move, but he's moving. Some of the words God had me even sing was that he sees you and he's coming. But those things, I'll say, are in the invisible. That's a true thing, but it hasn't manifested, right? We haven't seen it yet. You know, there's a piece where you're dealing with something, but you haven't seen the victory of it yet, but you still can know you got victory. That's faith. When you know you've got victory before it comes, that's faith. Now, when you know you got victory after you have it, that's just reading the mail. Okay? And there's a difference. God wants us to operate under faith. But notice Gideon here says, oh, really, if God is with us, he went in and did his assessment of the situation. If God is with us, why do I see all this mess going on and he's not doing the things that our ancestors told us about? He talked about how you led us out of the land of Egypt and those wonders that you performed. And now you have abandoned us. You know, sometimes you see these people who say, who told you to think? You know, I don't normally like that statement, but sometimes that comes to mind. God thinks way bigger than I do. So sometimes just be quiet. Let him handle that. It's like I tell my kids, and this is not disrespectful. I'm trying to think how I want to say this. See, you're seeing a conflict with my director of children's services. So I've got to be mindful of how I say this. I think children definitely have their rights. And children should have a voice. There is a time because their brains have not developed as much as ours and we don't know as much as us. There's a time where I just need them to do what I said. Yeah. I don't always have time to explain every little detail to you. I'll get it to you. But sometimes, because I'm thinking on a plane way higher than you, just do what I've told you to do. Sometimes I have to explain that to my kids, and I love them, but I have to remind them, Mom and I know. We've already talked it through. Like at times my children think they're educating me. They say, well, Mom said I can do. And I say, well, maybe you don't understand this, but any decision that's been made, your mama and I already talked about it. They just don't know that that is happening. See, so what I'm talking about is from your vantage point, it looks like you having a one-sided conversation and, oh, let me inform you of what God's doing. Well, guess what? While God's working with you over here and you don't see him all the time, he's over here doing something else, working on the other side. The two have not met yet. So God's got you over here doing A, B, and C, and you're wondering what D is going to look like, and God's got somebody over here preparing D. Okay? And hopefully you see my labeling there. It's whatever D is, you fill in the blanks. Whatever it is that God's been telling he's going to do and you haven't seen it yet, don't think he hasn't done it. And I said done, past tense. You just have not met up with it yet. But don't think you can go and now say God has abandoned me because I have not yet seen. And that's what Gideon is saying here. How can you be with us? How can I be a mighty man? You haven't done A, B, and C. You haven't done this. Our people are still, Moses did the same thing. How are you going to take care of your people and you can't hear the cries of your people? And you know, God thinking on such a higher plane, I know he must have said, shut up. Just do what I'm telling you. Get to where I want you to be. I've already got this worked out. And so, again, I'm talking about things that will hinder you. So if you are looking at your current condition and trying to judge how it's going to fit a future setting, they don't work. They don't work. When God calls you to something over here, he starts working with you. Now, he might have told you you're going to do A, B, and C, but he doesn't tell you all of it. Let me stop saying A, B, and C. I'll give you a specific. Well, actually, yeah, I'll use my situation. If you had ever told me I was going to be a director of children's services, I would have said, one, I don't want to do that because I'm going to be traveling the world and Lionel Richie and I are going to be friends. And I'm going to have my name on the Walk of Fame or whatever it is. And I'm going to have a star and I'm going to be all over the world. And I remember one time somebody said to me, and this was before I knew what a worship leader was, John Hamill. John Hamill said to me, man, I really feel the Lord is going to have you. It's almost like you're doing something like Clint Brown. And I said, Clint Brown? He said, yeah, the worship leader at World Harvest. And he said, I see God using you in that way. And I'm thinking, oh, come on. seriously? Because at that point, I saw myself traveling the world, doing something else, not leading people into the the presence of God. And I'm just trying to tell you that as God started having to work with me and explain to me what that looks like, using me as a worship leader, all of those steps started showing me how to work with people, how to make people's lives different through praise and worship. From there, it led into other areas and then started leading me into other areas all the way. I don't even have time to tell you all the steps, but I will tell you this. As he started working with me and started focusing me more on people, helping people opposed to creating solely music for the benefit of creating music, he started leading me into music therapy, how to work with people, how to change atmospheres, environment, how to control those type of things. And so from there, it started leading me into more exposure to helping the community. And I got involved with different things. Now, all of those steps, working at the car dealership, I stood in the office of the Children's Services, the director of Children's Services. I went in there one time because I sold him a van when I was at Don Wood. I said to the director at that time, Max Busey, I said, man, this office is wonderful. Man, he said, well, thank you so much. You know, and I said, man, this is awesome. So I'm doing the papers, never thought of it again. I rolled out. Uncomfortable situations started. Ivy and I waited about 9 years before we decided we were going to start trying to have children. All that time, we did not have sex. No, seriously. I'm teasing. okay, cut the video, cut it. No. No, but seriously, we waited all that time because we decided to wait and then found out we're having problems. Now, that's tragic. It was devastating. More so for my wife, because she says I'm a duck. Things roll off my back. But that was devastating. And so sure enough, going through all that, and God said, well, you would think God said no. No, God didn't say no. It's just a situation, doggone it. Don't think God has abandoned you because it hasn't come to pass. But sure enough, that causes me to go through, and we talked about it, and we said, let's get our license to foster and adopt. Because we're going to focus on adopting. And so we went through those classes, and we got licensed through Athens County Children's Services. Still, never believing I would ever work there. That was not my goal. But one thing led to another. I started working with children. I left the bank and went back to school. I had a lot of no's in there that shaped me going different places. It's like God was putting up roadblocks here and redirecting. Put up something here? Nope. Well, wait a minute. Why can't I go? Go that way, boy. He thinks bigger than us, right? So now I'm all here. And now when I go back and look through my past, and when I see that I'm the director of Children's Services, what I did is I went to everybody at the agency, and I explained to them my life experiences in health and human services. And when I went back and recounted all the different places I've worked at and the things God had me do, you could see that God was fashioning me for a time such as this. But what I want us to hear is I had plenty of times where I could have chose not to dig out. Those weren't cheerful moments. I'm blessed beyond measure to have our two children. I never could have seen that. Didn't come by the way I thought it was going to. But God. See, so what I'm telling you is as the devil's trying to get you to say, uncle, say, you give up yet? No. No, I'm going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even if God does not show up and spare us from this fiery furnace, we will not bow to you. We got to keep going. Okay, I went way into that more than I expected. I did not plan to go there. But it is a true thing of what I'm telling you is if you don't do the Gideon. Don't assume you know God has abandoned you because you haven't seen anything. It just hasn't come yet. It hasn't come yet. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. How many doctoral students I've talked to, and even before they ever finish, I say, Doc. At Grace Christian Center, we had so many people going through the doctoral programs, and I would always make it a habit to say, hey, Doc. Hey, Doc. Hey, Doc. Hey, Doc. How you doing? What am I doing? I'm trying to get them comfortable with their future. You might not be able to wear those shoes now, but you're going to be able to wear those shoes over here. It's coming. My goodness gracious. Verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have. I love that. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. And am I not sending you? Am I not sending you? So listen, it still makes no sense the way he's talking to him. He called him, he said, God is with you, mighty warrior. Go in that strength you have. What strength? What strength do I have? And wait a minute. You want me to deliver. Okay. Let me take a quick moment to encourage you. I don't care how old they are, but when you speak to your children, speak to who they are. Almost like you're a quarterback, throwing the ball where they're supposed to be. Yeah. Speak to them not based on their current setting, but where you know God wants them to be. It's hard to do. Trust me. I love my kids. There's times you want to put some hands on. You want to lay some hands on. You can't. Yes, I am children's services, but no, you can't. But seriously, if your child is getting D's and they say, you know, some point I really could see myself, I mean, maybe I could do this, and you know it takes college for that, don't say, well, you can't do that, you're getting D's. That's speaking to where they currently are. They can see that. They can hear that. What I say is, guess what? You can do anything you want to do. Just put your mind to it and let God help you. I still throw it out here. Now, I'm not talking about denial. I tell my kids, you're jacking up. Stop jacking up. Because you can do awesome things if you just go and do A, B, and C. Let God use you. You know, but don't speak to them and start, don't even try to fashion their future based on where they are currently. Because it's not what God would have for you to do. This angel is speaking, or really I'm going to say the Lord, because he's speaking on the Lord's behalf. He's speaking and saying, go in that strength of yours. He's cheering him on. Mighty man of warrior, or your mighty warrior, you can do this. You're going to lead the people out. He's saying all those things that is a contradiction to how he sees himself. Again, we're still on number two, which was look beyond your current condition. If you're going to be successful and complete your mission, look beyond your current condition. I'm going to go on and finish reading this here in 15 and 16. Let me make sure I'm in the right spot here. Yeah. Pardon me, my Lord. That's 15. Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my family. We heard Saul said the same thing. When Saul was being picked as king, he said, I'm come from the least clan, and I'm the weakest of them all. And his clan was Benjamin. And here you see another time where you're disqualifying yourself based on God told you to do A, B, and C, and you're telling him, hey, I come from the weakest clan. Again, let God do the thinking. Okay? Let God be the one to strategize. In verse 16, the Lord answered, I will be with you, you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. You are totally going to destroy them. But I will be with you. That's the trick. Or that's the pivot. He has to be with you. Amen? Now, if you don't believe that he's with you, fear will take over. Fear will take over and will cause you to say, let's just stay home. Let's not go that way. That's too hard. Nobody else in my family has a degree. Nobody else in our family has ever been called a prophet. Women can't be ministers. We don't say that here, but there's places right now that don't believe women could be a minister, a woman could be a minister. You know, can anything good come out of Meg's? Oh, here's another one. Here's one. If you live in Meg's County, you've got weed. I'm telling you, listen, I know, I'm not saying that. That's not me, so don't run off and say that. But I'm just saying, people say things and they apply things to you that you don't have to say, yeah, that's true. That's expected of me. Because guess what? When you expect something, you see it everywhere. That's the trick. If you think you're a failure, you'll produce failings. And you'll get comfortable with that. And you'll even justify it and say, you know what? That's what we do. Think about it. I had a GMC truck all this time. I ended up buying a Ram. When I bought a Ram, and this was 2 years ago, but when I bought a Ram, and this happens, seriously, check this out. This is how your mind works, because it's a survival piece. When whatever car you purchase lasts, you might have never heard of it before you purchased it. You, the same color of the vehicle you purchase, you'll start seeing it everywhere. You see it everywhere. Know why? Because your mind has been trained, it's designed to keep you sane and to keep you survival mode. So what it's doing is trying to say, you're not crazy. So you find the thing that looks like what you've done and you justify. See, they got one. Well, it's the same thing. If you think you're a failure, you produce failings. It's a fact. Now, what that means, though, is you got to separate yourself from that stinking thinking and say, I'm a child of the living God, and with him with me, there's nothing off limits. Nothing. Nothing is off limits. That is good news. That is so good news. Because it helps you. Trust me, it will help you with your sanity as well. Because when you're looking and you're thinking about the things God has for you to do, if he told you everything, you wouldn't be able to do it. But I'm going to tell you, push yourself and let him manifest on your behalf. And what I mean by that is, well, actually, it's my next point, so let me not get too far ahead. What a teaser. So let's go. Number three. This is number three. So remember, number one was fear is the main tool the enemy will use to impede success. Number two was look beyond your current condition. Who you are today is not who you will be tomorrow and who God is shaping you to be. Number three, conduct God's business as directed and he will provide for you. That was the next piece. Do God's business. Now, see, I said it that way because you can do business and think it's yours. You're doing God's business. And so even just knowing that piece that you're doing God's business should cause you to adjust. Listen, I care for my kids very much. I take really good care of them. At least I hope I do. I try to. But let Talisha and AJ's child come over. I'm gonna treat their child on a whole new level. Because they're not mine. And I want to make sure I return their child to them in the same condition or better condition than when they got with me. Right? It's just natural. Because it's somebody else's and you take care of it. Okay? Now, yeah, you should take care of your own. That is true. But even more so, you don't want to be held guilty of dropping the ball on someone else's, belongings. And so what I'm saying is when I remember this is God's business, it'll keep me from cussing somebody out. Because I'm not representing myself. When I'm at work, I do this everywhere. If I have a rule at work, even before I was in management, I don't care. If there was a rule at work, you were going to find me following that rule. Because I don't want someone to be able to say, you know, Otis, he doesn't follow rules. Because what they're saying is, wait a minute, doesn't he talk about serving God? Isn't he the one trying to get us to go to his church? Isn't he the one telling us God is good and God wants people of excellence? And isn't he the one sleep on the job? Is he the one doing, you know, seriously, is he the one cussing his family out? And I tell you what, I used to get real bad with road rage. This took a little while. This took a little while to get out of me because people would give me the finger or something as we driving. I would follow them. I used to follow them. Am I lying? Because I would get, hey, all right, you do that while you're in the car. You ain't going to do it in my face, are you? And I had to say, hey, that's silly. Stop that. People getting killed for dumb stuff, you know? But seriously, what I'm saying is I don't get to act a fool just because I want to. I got to remember whose business I'm conducting. And when I do that, when he says, get up in the middle of the night and go pray for that person, or when he says, there's been times that God said, that person needs you, go to them, because they called, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And I can say, you know what, I'm tired, let's do this some other time. No, you're conducting God's business. So what happens is when you go out with that type of mindset, I'm talking about completing your mission and being successful, right? When you go and do what God told you to do as he directed you, he provides. It's like that ball being there, like that runner or that receiver. That ball's there. You be in the right spot, God will get everything you need. Everything you need will be there. God said, just show up. I'll take care of the rest. Let me do the heavy lifting, really, is what God's trying to say to us. I'll do the heavy lifting. But, okay, I need to move. Okay, so, number 4, act on behalf of the kingdom. Okay? I put in parentheses, and this is from, Pastor used to talk about ants. Automatic negative thoughts. And I put in here, kill automatic negative thoughts. So when you act on behalf of the kingdom, you got to attack those negative thoughts and bring them to the submission of Christ, right? Some of us are waiting on God to bring us into a place of blessing. A little bit of what AJ was saying, or Alan was saying. I call him AJ, but Alan Kisner. I used to call him Animal as well, but a little bit of what he was saying earlier, let's not wait. So let's not wait for God to bring us to a place of blessings, but he is waiting on us to understand that what we are currently doing is bigger. Wow, this is big. It's bigger than what we are doing. Now that sounds weird. What we are currently doing is bigger than what we are doing. Yeah. I'll say it again. What we are currently doing is bigger. I'll say it another way. What we're currently doing is bigger than that. I thought when I went to the car business, I said, how the heck am I going to do the car business? I'm a minister of God. How am I going to do the car business? because I just had this image, and you would see these shows, and it would show a car dealer and a guy lying. But I didn't lie when I sold cars, you know? But what I did find out is that's ministry. I thought I was selling cars. And God told me, you're still ministering to people. Because as I was in the process of selling a car, I was talking and getting to know people. And there would be people who bought cars from me that would call me and say, I'm going in for surgery. And I'm talking about even now. Just last week, somebody called me who I met through selling cars, and over the years have been there. I've been to their house, ministered to their family. Their family still calls me. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, if I had left it in my brain that I'm selling a car, I'm putting gas in a tank, I'm busting a table. If I really thought me busting a table was simply me busting a table, I'm missing the kingdom purpose. Because people are watching you do whatever it is you're doing, and you're communicating something bigger than what you're doing. You're communicating who you belong to. That is all a part of us being successful in completing our mission. Man, I keep kicking this cup over. All right, so also, I'm almost done. So anyway, this is the other piece of that, which I actually already led into. How much more do I have here? Okay, I'm almost done, actually. You aren't just washing clothes. This is what I wrote down, but I already said this to you, so I'll just reiterate. You aren't just washing clothes, serving tyrants. Serving a tyrant. Has anybody ever said that about your boss? I don't say that. I'm just saying those are things I've heard over time. Feeding your family, serving until the next thing. You're not just serving until the next thing. And so what does it do? It makes us, if you do it knowing that it's God's business, you're going to conduct it with excellence. If you're wiping a table, whatever it is you're doing, if you're driving a bus, be the best. Be the best at every level that you possibly can. Don't be satisfied, because listen, like I already said, the devil wants you to back off of your purpose. He wants to minimize it. If God says this is your purpose, he wants you to start chiseling away at that. He'll let you have a pebble of it, because he wants you to be complacent. Don't shorten that thing. Let it expand. All right, so in Genesis, I want to jump over to Genesis 39. Genesis 39, I'm going through verse 1 through 4, and I'm just trying to illustrate what I've just talked to you about. We all know the story of Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite stories. Just because I think of Joseph being a person of integrity, and the piece I just talked to you about, handling God's business the right way, okay? So now in verse 39, verse 1, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was, let me see where I'm at. My battery is about to go out. So Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, how did he see that? So when he saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. God gave him success in everything he did. Number 4, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted to his care everything he owned. So listen, so we talked about steps. That was the end result. Well, not really, but for this piece that I'm reading, That was the end result. But God was with him, caused him to prosper. Everything he did, he excelled at it. Not only that, somebody saw it. Right? You might not know it. You're being watched all the time. All the time. Instead of putting a bumper sticker on your car, live it. People will see it. You don't even have to tell them I'm Christian. Hey, it's right. It's right. You don't even have to say I'm Christian. Just live your life a certain way, and they will start to identify, my goodness, God must be with that person. Now, don't get me wrong. Tell them you're Christian, too. Tell them why they need the Lord. But you just don't want to go around. You know, usually the person to lose a fight is the ones that say, I'm a bad dude. I'm a bad dude. You know those people who always run their lip? You know? I'm a big deal around here, though, from the anchor man. Anyway. All right. Anyway. I know I watch too many movies. Okay. So we want to do what God has for us to do, and we want to live it out loud. On my truck, when I get my truck back, it says be heard on my license plate. And people ask me all the time, what does that mean? I'm saying live out loud. Live your life on purpose. Don't do it by accident. If they pull you out, John Maxwell will talk about what happens if your church dies. You can tell the strength of a church by if your church is not in the community, how does it affect the community? Live out loud, okay? This is the last thing I'm going to drop on you. Let's see. Yeah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 through 11. This is just a scripture I was reading while I was studying this word, and it jumped out to me, and I thought it was relevant, so I'm just going to read this. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. That's a piece of what I was saying. Be deliberate. Each one should build with care. Verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so I thought that was it. Reason I'm saying this piece to you and why it jumped out to me is what God was trying to say is we all have a portion to play. Some people will lay a foundation. You might not see, again, Gideon thought he had been abandoned because he did not see. You might have been doing work, sowing into someone's life, and didn't see that thing come to fruition. But don't think that it was a waste. You might have been laying a foundation, but on the next step, somebody else can come and build on top of that. You don't always get to see the end result. But still know God is working. That's what I'm trying to say through that piece there. And we do know that Jesus Christ is the main foundation. And so everything we do, it is wrapped up in him. You don't have to be the one to close the deal. But keep going. Keep going. Keep going to the next one. The very last piece. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. I'm sorry. Let me say this to you real quick. Number 5, which I just shared with you. Sow without contradiction between deed and speech. So what I'm saying there is, and I know I'm almost done. Was that my third closing? Okay, I got 2 more points, and these are just things I'm going to tell you, and we're done, because I already shared the scripture for this one. But number 5 was sow without contradiction between deed and speech. That's part of what I was saying is live it out loud. Okay, that's the live it out loud. You can look at this later, but in Luke 1, starting in verse 8, Zechariah, when he was having his son John, he could not believe that this was happening. He could not believe what God was doing just because he thought he and his wife were too old. And so he could not speak. He could not speak again until his son was born. And when people are saying, what's his name going to be? And the wife Elizabeth tried to say, his name's going to be John. But no, they had to look to him, what's the name? He had to write his name on a piece of paper. And when he aligned himself, when his deeds aligned with what God said, boom, he was able to speak again. So again, if you're going to be successful and complete your mission, do not contradict what you say with what you do. They should match. Last piece is number 6, forgive, forgive, forgive. If you do not walk in forgiveness, you will not prosper. The enemy has too many entanglements he can get on you if you walk in unforgiveness. Amen? God doesn't want you in unforgiveness, because what it does is it gives strongholds to the enemy. It gives him handles to grab onto. Amen? All right. I made it. I know it went long, y'all. But listen. Hey, can you start some music for me? Thank you. Fight. Dig yourself out. God knows you've had a rough go. God knows you took licks. But you're still here. You're still standing. You're still going. You have not given up. So there's hope in your future. Get ourselves steady. Get rested. You're in your corner getting patched up. And you're about to get into your next round. You understand? God's got great things for you. Father God, I just thank you so much for sharing this word with us today. We appreciate you so much, Father God, and we know that you're working on our behalf. Even when we haven't seen it come to fruition, we know you're working it. You are doing great things for us, Father God, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, Father God. You're working on our behalf. And we just thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Listen, continue to pray for Pastor and Tammy. I'm not sure if, I don't know if Tammy's not feeling well, but pray for Pastor. I know he's not, so. All right, love you. If you do need some ministry, I'm hanging out. If you need prayer for anything, please feel free to come up.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.